Talktainment Radio, worldwide sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard. You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty, welcome to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You are now in touch with The Compensatory Concept. With Mr. Fuller online with me, I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. And believe it or not, this is radio the way it should be heard. If you'd like to get in contact with this show, you can at 877-932-9766. There are other ways that I will explain as the show progresses. I've been made aware again, even though some of the callers and some of the Gmailers have acknowledged this, Mr. Fuller's birthday, which we call his birthday, but Mr. Fuller, I was just told that basically happy birthday to you, but I'm going to say happy breath day to you, as you explained, and just wanted to make that acknowledgement to you. There are some people that like to say that to you, knowing exactly how you feel, but anyway, happy breath day to you, as you so beautifully explained.
Well, I'm pleased that I have another birthday. I had just one birthday, and that was the day I was born, and that was the day that I started breathing. I've been breathing ever since. So therefore, every day that I've been breathing, I have appreciated that day, because that's a breath day. Now, I got one day coming up, I know.
Yeah.
According to the way things usually work, scientifically, logically, and that is a death day. These are breath days. I got one right now. I'm breathing right now.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate this as a breath day. Every day is a breath day, and I appreciate every minute of every one of them. But one of these days, and I think that'll be in a pretty short order, going according to the way things usually work, I'll have a death day, in which case my breath no longer is with me, and I'll be no longer with it, and I'll be gone. But as long as I'm here, you might say, I appreciate all of these days and every minute of each one of them, because it is what? A gift from whatever put me here.
Okay.
I have no control over that. I'll try to control it as best I can to keep doing it. But one of these days, according to what I have witnessed, everybody exhale at some point, and they don't inhale again.
All righty. So anyway, happy breath of day to you. Let's see here. Let's take this phone call. Okay, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Can I be heard?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah. Oh,
good morning, Mr. Fuller. I have two questions for you. The first question is that as a victim of racism, what I have noticed about myself and a lot of other non-white people, particularly black people in this part of the world, is that we like to brag and say that we are very successful in many things that we do, whether it's monetarily or any other thing that we feel that we are quote-unquote accomplishing. Is it accurate to say that no non-white person in the system of racism, white supremacy, is successful unless we are doing something that's going to stop the system of white supremacy?
Well, I'll tell you, in the textbook for victims of white supremacy that you can get by going to producejustice.com, my suggestion is no black person, no non-white person should ever put the label of success on themselves for having accomplished anything in this prison system called the system of white supremacy. Prisoners of war are not successful. Prisoners of war are losers. According to what? Neely Fuller? According to logic. Prisoners of war are not successful. They are captives. As long as you are a captive of the system of white supremacy, and white supremacy is dominant over you as a person of color, you are not a success at whatever it is that you do. Why? Because the main thing that you are in that system of white supremacy is prisoner of war. So it's not logical that you can consider yourself, if you follow logic, a successful person, as long as you are a prisoner of war. I will die having not been a success. I'm a success when I'm no longer under the system of white supremacy while I'm breathing. Then I can say I have, if I got out from under the system of white supremacy as a person of color, this is how I look at it from Neely Fuller, for myself. If I leave this planet as a prisoner of war, I will not have been successful at anything that was worthy of being called being successful at. If I look at it, one of the nine areas of activity, successful at what? See, that's the question. In economics, what is economics? How you use your time and energy. Now, was the use of my time and energy successful if I didn't get out of prison? The answer is what, logically speaking, when that is my mission? The answer is no. Education, the second area of activity. Did my education, the things that I learned, qualify me from not being a victim of white supremacy? That I was able to say that the white supremacists no longer have any authority over me in any area of activity, any time of day or night, directly or indirectly? So far, the answer is no. And so I can go through all areas. Entertainment, politics, sex, religion. Did my religion eliminate the system of white supremacy? Was my religion, whatever that religion is, powerful enough to actually have done the job, not talking about doing the job, not look forward to doing the job? Did my religion actually eliminate racism? And if I die without that having been done, how am I going to qualify myself under counter-racist logic to call myself a success? So the answer is no. There's no such thing as a successful black person in the system of white supremacy. That's impossible.
Your second question, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Fuller, I remember reading in the code book a couple of years ago, and I can't remember what page it was on, but it has always stuck with me. You made a statement that said black people do not have what they are supposed to have. And I always wanted to ask you specifically about that statement, simply because of how this system of white supremacy promotes us, particularly as non-white people, as you just alluded to, that we can accomplish things and we can do all these things. But yet, when I start thinking about it logically, how am I accomplishing something constructive if what I'm getting is not even what I'm supposed to get? And I always wanted to get your perspective on that statement that you made in the code book.
It's the law of compensation. Prisoners of war do not get what they should get. What they should get is not being prisoners of war. Now, anything you get inside the prison, I don't care how luxurious your cell might be, as long as you're a victim of white supremacy, counter-racist logic says you're just a jazzed-up victim of white supremacy, and that's all. Mm. I don't care how much money you have or what you do or how many so-called friends you have or how many parties you go to. You're just partying in a prison, having a prison party. And that's the way every black person on the planet should look at it every minute of every day. I'm a prisoner of war. I'm not supposed to be a prisoner of war. And anything that happens in this prison, it's just biding time until I'm not a prisoner of war. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what I invent in the prison. Oh, yeah, there are great inventions made in a prison. I understand a white man during World War II invented the M1 and M2 carbine rifle, type that I used in Korea, carried in Korea, rather, didn't use it. And his name was Carbine Williams, I think. I think they made a movie about him. And he was a prisoner. All right, so prisoners can invent things. So black people invent things, and then we walk, write books and bragging about it. But remember, you invented these things under the system of white supremacy. Okay?
That's right.
So what? So what? So you invented something, but you're still a prisoner of war. George Washington Carver, I understand, came up with all kinds of inventions and ways of handling the peanut and different things you can do with it. An excellent person who had an eye and a mind for the what they call the fauna of the universe and whatnot. But a slave, and we're still that way. So we're in no position to do any bragging. That's another thing. Prisoners of war don't brag. Prisoners of war do not brag about anything. We just get a breathe a sigh of relief. Even when if it comes a day when we're no longer subject to white supremacy, according to the counter-racist code, we're not supposed to brag then. On Jubilation Day, we're supposed to breathe a sigh of relief and then start trying to clean up the mess that this world has been in ever since the beginning of the system of racism.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, caller, for calling in. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7 no charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's one that I am going to share with you. It is called The Kinsman. After this program, if you'd like, and I would highly suggest that, why don't you turn into that program and hear what Brother Malik Heru has to say and where he's going and the outreach to brothers and sisters everywhere. It's good talk, Kinsman talk. Yeah, all that is exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com, as are all of our shows that are done here. And you can go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and just click on programs, and there you will see a list of the programs that we have here. All this from TalkTainment Radio. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr. We're basically having an open discussion on your emails or Gmails, and as you can see here, phone calls. As a matter of fact, we have a phone call right now. You are on with Mr. Fuller, and you can be heard. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. This is James calling from North Carolina. Mr. Fuller, under the system of white supremacy, is your book, The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, at best able to produce a planet of codified prisoners of war and slaves who will exist under the constant threat of murder at the hands of white supremacists? I'm asking this question because based on logic and past historical evidence, races are most violent when their victims think, speak, and act in a constructive manner.
Yes. I say that the book has not proven anything. I've written a book that I recommend that people read, but this book has not proven to be a threat to the system of white supremacy at all. Why? Because the white supremacists haven't made a move to keep the book from being distributed. They haven't made a move against me. I've had white, when I've gone and spoken at universities and whatnot, there were white people present. I was reading right from the book. I was saying things right out of the book. I got no comments at all except that what I was doing was interesting. That's the only comment I ever got in all the years that I've been out here. See, that my points of view are very interesting. And it seems like I use logic. And then they just walk away. There's no opposition at all. None. Except some people have said that they agree with it. They don't agree with it. Lots of people have said that. But since nothing has changed, now see, the white supremacists, that's all they go by. They don't care what black person says anything about anything. We have what we call great black speakers and great black leaders. But the white supremacists look at them and the book writers like myself, and then they look at what black people are actually doing every day, and they say, we don't care. Let them write. Let them talk. Let them preach. Let them plan on writing another book. Let them make movies. As long as what? They ain't disturbing the prison routine. That's all they care about. Something? The white supremacists are pure scientists. All they care about is the effect. If what you're doing is not taking effect, what Neely Fuller is saying is not taking effect, it's like he doesn't exist, which he doesn't. That's the answer.
Can I say something, sir?
Yes, sir.
I will say this. Your book has been helpful in many ways to me as an individual, and I agree with everything you just said. However, what's the logical question that has to be asked regarding your book? If it hasn't proven to be effective, and I say this respectfully, sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all, why are you promoting it and trying to sell it?
Oh, because I'm doing the best I can as a prisoner of war. That's why I give examples like, you know, Casablanca, Shawshank Redemption. What did Humphrey Bogart say in Casablanca to Victor Laszlo? He says, if we all try, he says, but Mr. Laszlo, it seems like you're doing better than me. You succeed. However, you know, I prefer not to use the word success, but Humphrey Bogart, playing the part of Rick Blaine in the movie Casablanca, was telling this character from in World War II that he was doing more against, you know, for the war effort than Rick Blaine was doing. Rick Blaine admitted that himself, said, I try to do my little stuff right here in this little nightclub. It don't amount to much, but I try to do my best. And what does that mean in answer to your question? It means as a prisoner of war, you just keep trying to do what a prisoner of war should be trying to do, not be a prisoner of war. It doesn't make any difference. An ant at the bottom of a glass jar may realize that it's going to be extremely difficult to get out of that jar. But you better believe, every time you come and look, because I've watched it, being brought up in the woods at one time in my existence, I studied ants, like, you know, the Bible says, study the ant. They just keep on keeping on. I mean, and they say, well, that ant ain't going nowhere. I mean, I don't care how long he tries, but you will come by the next day, if that ant is still breathing, that ant will still be trying to climb up the wall of that glass jar. It will be trying to do its very best. With what? With the conditions that it has been given. Why? Because what's the option? The other option is to do what? Nothing at all. And with every black person on this planet, that should never be an option. You just keep on keeping on. I won't care. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if the whole world, including all the black people, are standing up and speaking against you, shouting against you, like a lot of them will. All right? You just say, yeah, okay, I heard y'all. But you know what? I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. You know, white, non-white, you all keep on talking about I shouldn't be trying to break out of this system and replace it with a better system. No, that's my mission. That's my reason for breathing. And as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to be trying to do that. All right, regardless of what anybody says about anything. End of story. And that's what every black person on the planet, every person of color, should be saying right now in response to what you just presented.
Yes, sir. And I try to do that to the best of my ability, according to what I know and understand on a day-to-day basis. However, I want to be free.
Like sure.
Now, and I just want to know, what should we be doing different in order to make that happen as soon as possible, because tomorrow's too late for me.
Yes, I understand. And so let me cut right to the chase right now. That's what I mean. You try things that and find out if it works. If it doesn't work, you drop it and try something else. That's it. That's the codified procedure. That's how everything is done. That's how people make millions of dollars. They try one thing, it doesn't work. Then they try something else. That doesn't work. Then they try something else. That's what inventors do. The people that started off with the airplane, trying to put some wings on a bicycle, all right? Now look at what we ride around in. But it started with that person trying to put wings on a bicycle or on a unicycle, on one wheel, and thinking you can roll and take off and flap those wings. It weren't going anywhere, and everybody laughed. But the next thing you know, in 100 years or so or less, people are landing on the moon. But it came from that person that first started trying to do that. That's it. Why? Because the option is to do nothing. And I'm saying no black person should say, well, I ain't going to do nothing because it's too hard. No, no. Do everything that you think might work. Even when it fails, and when that fails, do something else. Because it ain't a failure until you stop trying.
All righty. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller. You're on.
Top of the AM, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby. How you doing
today? Hey, Bumuko.
How you doing? I wanted to ask Mr. Fuller a question. And also make a statement. We had a situation up in New York where a victim of racism, white supremacy, a non-white female, was attacked by a white supremacist terrorist. She was just out of the blue stabbed by this white supremacist terrorist. And my question to Mr. Fuller is this. Mr. Fuller, and this is for my care unit in Baltimore, by the way, shouldn't we have a code for our non-black women to defend themselves in these cases?
Oh, sure. You defend yourself against anybody that attacks you. I mean, just think of yourself as a prisoner of war. You're walking around in the prison yard. They gave you a little break where you're out of your cell. So you're walking around in what we call streets and whatnot. And you're not in the compound that you're assigned to called an apartment or a house and whatnot in the prison system of white supremacy. And somebody attacks you. So you do what you would do in the prison yard. You run if you can. And if you can't get away and they catch you, they start trying to hit you with something or stab you or shoot you, and you fight. I mean, like any animal would do, because that's what we are considered to be. So you just, you know, your animal instincts. All right? It's simple. I mean, you don't have to scratch your head about that one. I mean, all organisms do that. Even what we call in the chemical field, things within your body called antibodies. I mean, they resist something trying to destroy it. I mean, one cell tries to destroy another cell, but that cell resists being destroyed. You always resist being destroyed on a one-on-one basis, okay? But if you're overwhelmed and you figure that you can buy some time, like, you know, like law enforcement officers gang up on you or something like that, well, you know from experience that you might, if you don't fight, don't fuss, don't flee, you might be able to be here another day. But if you fuss, you fight, you flee, and you got some law enforcement officers who are really posing as white, posing as police officers, but they're really white supremacists, and you're going to get beaten to death, you just might have to just take that beating, and that's it, like in any prison yard. The guards can gang up on you and beat you to death anytime they want to, if that's what their, you know, their mission is. And, you know, you can, when you see that you're just going to be beaten and there's no way out, then that's the only time you can fight back, or should. But you shouldn't initiate anything, all right?
Absolutely.
But one, you know, in other words, just use logic. That's what the whole codification thing is about. Not just Neely Fuller's code. Neely Fuller's code is supposed to be based on logic. That's all I follow. Do the best you can in every situation. What is the best thing to do? And what is the worst thing to do? And you have to make up your mind real quick. That's the key.
Right.
Make up your mind real quick about the best thing to do in every situation. Because every situation, there's a best thing and a worst thing. And that's everything from somebody trying to kill you to actually writing a letter. What's the best way to word this letter that I'm fixing to write? And what's the worst way to write this letter? And you pick the best way for doing everything, every minute of every day that you are breathing. That's it. That's all anybody has to do, if you want it in a nutshell.
Well, that's definitely understood, Mr. Fuller. I just wanted to add, you said use logic, and what I see usually in the two cases that I've seen, we don't use logic. We call the race soldiers there, and the race soldiers don't help the situation at all. So I definitely agree with what you said, and I hope that everyone that's listening, they initiate the logic into their code of defending themselves and stop calling these race soldiers to the situation, because half of the time, more than likely, they're not there to help the situation. They're there to defend the white supremacist terrorists. Thank you, Mr. Fuller, and thank you, Mr. Bobby.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much. Okay. 1-877-932-9766 is the number you can call. You can also view us on Facebook. If you would, or rather, yeah, well, Facebook too, I'll get to that. But on YouTube, all you have to do is go to the YouTube channel, type in the word Talktainment, and then hit the space bar. And I believe you go down to where you can type in the word radio. And when you do that, what will come up is Talktainment number 2, where you can listen live and also view the program. And while you do that, hit the like button and the subscribe button. We'll be very happy if you do that. Okay. Talktainmentradio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download Talktainmentradio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We have more outstanding Gmails and hopefully more phone calls coming up next with the TalktainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' Online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
K-I-N.
Shop online at www.ashkickin.com.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Talktainmentradio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. Talktainmentradio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. This on the compensatory concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller Jr. And basically, we're having an open forum, reading emails, taking phone calls as they come in. You can join in on the conversation or suggestion or VGQ, as Mr. Fuller suggests, by calling 1-877-932-9766, and we will go on with the discussion. Of note, next Wednesday, the 21st of November, there will be no live show. We will return again on the 28th with a live show, but next Wednesday, there will be no live show, but there will be the compensatory concept shows that we have, pardon me, that we have already done, and so they're in the system, and you will hear one of those shows. I don't know which one you will hear, but you will hear one of those shows. Is that correct, Mr. Producer?
Yeah,
due to the so-called holiday, that's why there will not be a show, live show, live show. So keep that in mind. So do not call in for that because there won't be one. Okay. So as we move along here, I'm efforting just a moment because we may have a phone call here. Let me get the button, and we do. Caller, you are now live on the air with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning. I wanted to ask about medical terms that are used for black people, like doctors that say these things, like black people have a higher chance to get this, cancer or diabetes, stuff like that, but they never quite go into the foods that we eat, the stresses that we're under, and a lot of other factors. Mr. Fuller, do they use these terms to kind of make black people feel inferior about themselves? Because I just don't understand how could a black person just automatically have a higher chance of getting cancer or diabetes and stuff like that? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, to the extent that the white supremacist has anything to do with anything that black people do, they do things that are harmful to black people. That's the answer. The prisoners of war are supposed to be harmed the way that they think. You got color in your skin, you are eligible to be dominated and mistreated. That's what you are born for. That's what they are taught. I mean, it's not even personal. It's just built into the system of government, world government, that if a person has color in his or her skin, in every area of activity, find a way, if you're white, if you're classified as white, have been, quote-unquote, fortunate enough to have been born white, part of your duties, one of your main duties, is to walk around on the face of this earth, and if you encounter, either deliberately or just incidentally, people of color, particularly people classified as black, as the non-white people, you are automatically supposed to think of a way, regardless of whatever else you're thinking about. If you are classified as white, you're supposed to automatically say, yon goes a person with color in his or her skin. Now, as a duty, as a white person, it is my duty to kind of figure out a way to get over there where that black person is and figure out a way that you can do some type of harm to that person. Period. That's the way they are taught. That's the way we all are taught. Black people are taught to treat each other that way. By whom? Directly, indirectly, through the books and all like that, and through the use of the word dark and black, you know, and the way the word is used, that is outlined in the code book, in the word guide, and in the basic textbook. The way the word has been used, dark or black. Something evil, something, you know, that, hey, what is that? Throw rocks at it. Stop it from moving. And if you're not going to stop it from moving, it, watch it while it moves and see if it does anything that you can find a way to disapprove of, and then take action against it. Now, when you see yourself that way, you're seeing yourself the way that the white supremacists and most white people on this planet have been taught from birth to react at the sight of a person who has color. The darker, the more foreboding, the more Halloween, the more Walking Dead, the more ghoulish, the more grotesque that thing is. Something that brings horror. Something that is a terrorist. Something evil. They're taught that. So you're supposed to understand that. All right.
Claude Anderson, he recently said, it was almost a mind-blowing point. Claude Anderson said that when black people kill black people, we're actually emulating white people.
Absolutely. I mean, he's not the only one to say that. I mean, hundreds of books have been saying, I've been saying it. I mean, and black people know that. Black people get up in the morning, a lot of black teenagers all over the world now, and particularly in the Northwestern Hemisphere, it's completely self-evident. This is what all the locks on the doors are about. This is why walking down the street is dangerous. It's because we have got black people walking around all day long looking for an excuse, because we're trying to, particularly black males and a growing number of black females, looking for a way to prove that we are somebody. And the way that we do that is you do harm to another person of color. Find somebody that looks just like you and try to, hey, I'm gonna get all over that thing. I'm going to kill that thing. I mean, that thing shouldn't even be here. You know, I shouldn't be here, but I ain't got nerve to kill myself, so I kill him because he looks like me. That's a reflection of me. That reminds me of me. And I can't stand myself, so why could I stand him? And that's why we kill each other by the bushel all over the world as we're speaking right now.
Hmm.
And we call it tribalism. We give it all kind of names. Well, you ain't a member of my gang. Yes, you are. You're all fellow prisoners, that's all. But you got prison gangs, all right? And the warden says, well, hey, let them kill each other. I mean, hey, the less burden on the taxpayer. You know, we're tired of running ambulances for these Negroes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Let's see here. Okay, let's take this phone call. Go ahead, caller. You are on with Mr. Neely Fuller. What is your question?
All right. When a person has certain problems at work, which is caused by people of non-color, whites, I guess, how do you help that person if they work in an environment that are facing the same problem, but it's being presented by black people?
Oh, you shift that weight. But that's the scientific counter-racist way. One thing, you always let them know that you are not running nothing, even if you are a black supervisor. You let the people that you are giving superior advice to, that's what supervisor means, giving superior advice. So you give them superior advice by saying, you ain't a supervisor. You're a message carrier, all right? You ain't superior in nothing, all right? So you are going, so you come down and say, now this is what? Like a sergeant, a black sergeant, when I was at Fort Seal, he came down and he used the N-word, but he was using it, putting it in the mouth of the white person. He said, Lieutenant, and he called a lieutenant's name. This is at Fort Seal, Oklahoma, in 1952. He said he's going to let us, and he used the N-word, off today.
What?
Yeah, that's the way he put it. We all understood it and went along with it. It didn't hurt. You see, he was a master sergeant, and he came around the rest of us. I was a sergeant, a staff sergeant, and he said, well, Lieutenant, and he called the lieutenant's name, but the lieutenant didn't actually use the N-word, but he used it because he knew what it meant when the lieutenant said, you all going to be off tomorrow.
Hmm.
Okay, so he came down and said, well, boss said he's going to let his N-word off today. And we all laughed because we knew exactly that's what the deal is.
Yeah, yeah.
See, we had one white man who was over all of us. It was a black field artillery unit, Fort Seal, Oklahoma, 2nd Field Artillery, 1952. All right? There was one white man in that unit.
And he was in charge.
He was in charge. He was a lieutenant, And he hated the job because he knew that he had been given that job because, see, he must have been on somebody's, you know, list.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of him and punish him by putting him in charge of a whole bunch of you-know-what.
Yeah, okay.
A whole bunch of N-words.
Yeah.
Okay? And so he wasn't half caring about what we did. So actually, we were in a position that the best position during that time that I was in the Army, the 2 years I was in, that was the best time that I had in the Army, if you could call it a best time. Because we had a lieutenant say, look, I'm being punished by putting in charge of you people.
Yeah.
So, I don't give a holler about what y'all do.
Okay.
Just don't make enough problems where I get in trouble. Okay?
Gotcha.
And so, hey, everybody understood that. So, hey, we acted accordingly.
Oh, okay.
See, sometimes you get a little bit of break in a prison.
All right. Well, let's go here. See if you can be in charge of this. This is the time where we talk about your book. So go ahead, Mr. Fuller, for the next
minute. Yes, sir. You can get the book by going to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. And what will come up on the screen is a brief description of what the textbook is about. And it's even an opening statement about how to use the book. So you'll know specifically how the book is supposed to be used. It's addressed to the individual victims. Organizations can use it, but the book is not about organizations, except within the context of making each person, every individual prisoner of war, an organization, him or herself, wherever he or she happens to be.
Okay.
So you don't have to look around to see what other black people are doing.
Exactly.
You know, you depend exactly on what you are going to do and what you are not going to do, and you are able to be successful at it.
Okay.
You can get the book by going to producejustice.com.
Okay, now before we get off of that, I had was asked this two questions. Number one, can the book be purchased overseas or in Canada? That was the first question. So can the book be done like that, and can you still get the old book?
You can get the original book. Some people have asked for the original book. Now, I want to qualify that. I want to say I put it up there, but I don't know why, except one person told me that they understood the book better in the original book, even though the updated book has all of the stuff in it that the original book has.
Okay.
And then has much more added. All right. But I put the original book back up there because some people have requested it because they say that the way it was written and some things that were in and in there made them understand the second book better when they got it because they have both books.
All right.
So I have it there.
And,
you'll see the three books there, the basic revised edition 2016 and the word guide, which is 2010. That's the supplement to the basic book. And the original book, which was the 1984 edition.
Okay. And now, because I do have a brother that communicates with me from South Africa, places in the Dominican Republic, places in South America, they ask me and write to me quite often about that. Can the book in Canada, can the book be received in those places? As far as you know.
In Canada and in the UK, meaning London and England and whatnot. That's what I've been told, but no place else as of this time. They're still working. They're working, really seriously working, trying to get it to these other places.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. All right. So now you know where you can get the book at, and it should be required reading. One of the three major books I think you should have on your coffee table. Okay, Mr. Fuller, this comes from the Gmails. It says, question for Mr. Fuller. Is it accurate to say someone can be more racist other than to another person, or is a racist plain and simple a racist?
A racist is always plain and simple a racist. It's just like, you know, an enemy soldier. I mean, a person who has declared himself by being a racist, your enemy, on account of you got the incorrect color in their opinion. And so they're considered soldiers. But some soldiers will treat you better than others. Just like prison guards. Anybody that's been in, you know, what you call a, I call it greater confinement.
Yeah, greater confinement. Mm-hmm.
Right. Anybody that's been in the Northwestern Hemisphere, been in Attica, or in South Africa, been in what they call Robben's Island, I think.
Yeah.
I think Nelson Mandela, during the time, 27 years he was in, there were some guards that treated him very kindly, all right? But they were still guards. If he had headed for that wall now, they'd take him out, okay? If he tried to get out of there, they got to understand that. But he said there were, you know, some of them were brutal, and others treating him very kindly, I mean, as best as they could within the prison rules. So this is what you expect of white people on a daily basis. The white people, you keep it in mind that mm-hmm. they're most likely racist because the code requires this, okay? You always suspect any white person who is able to be a racist. That's the requirement. If they're able to be a racist, they probably, that person, if he or she is white, probably is one.
Okay, is it more accurate? He was saying, this person was saying here, is it accurate to say that someone can be more racist than another person who is already racist?
No, it's just, see, if you look at it within the confines of a prison system, and you just have acts of kindness, and you accept these acts, and you thank people who are kind to you, I mean, you got to, and you should, according to the law of compensation. All right, you thank them. You don't be grouchy and whatnot with people who are trying to help you, all right, even under prison conditions, because you're in that envelope called a prison. And so, therefore, if someone does something for you, you get a break. You on a work detail, they say, well, you don't have to work for the next 5 days. Sure, you're in prison. So you thank that person. Say, thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you very much, sir. Or if you get some extra money or some extra food or a better cell, you thank it. You thank anybody that does anything for you on the planet, anytime, regardless. But at the same time, keeping in mind, if it's a white person doing it, that white person is still a racist,
okay,
equal to all other races, because they are supposed to be guards and are guardians over you.
Got that.
And like they say in The Godfather, it ain't personal, it's business.
It's business. Okay. Last question, I think, for today. Brother Darrell wrote in and said this. Last week, some prominent black folk cussed out, blamed, and just flat-out dogged those blacks who didn't turn out to vote last week. They called them a disgrace to the race and more. They blamed those black folks who chose not to vote for why Gillum in Florida and Abrams in Georgia didn't win by a landslide. But many blacks are frustrated because neither party has a justice or a black empowerment agenda on the table or seem interested in ever addressing one. So my question to you, or questions to you, Mr. Fuller, are, should blacks be gilded or shamed for not voting? And what is your take on what the lesser of two evils means in terms of voting? And should we get rid of this phrase like we like to use, hold them accountable?
Get rid of that phrase. You're talking about black people?
Yeah.
Yes. Get rid of that phrase. Hold them by the toe? What are we talking about, hold them? Hold who? We're prisoners of war. All prisoners of war are equal. So we don't have any voice anyway. I mean, stop thinking that. The white supremacists make the decisions about who's going to do what
mm-hmm.
in their prison system called the system, capital letters, the system of white supremacy. It's a world prison system for people of color. That's what it is.
Okay.
And all people of color are in it. So one prisoner, talking about the other prisoner, was Tommen, all right? We have found from experience that doesn't produce anything of constructive value.
So did Gillum and Abrams, for example, because these... He is saying it because these prominent black people suggested that because of the blacks that didn't vote, that's why they lost?
Well, it could be. It could be. But at the same time, every prisoner makes his or her own decision. That's VGQ. That comes under VGQ. You react to racism the way you choose to react. Some black people may say racism is great. They like it. I mean, black people have made a lot of progress. We weren't nothing but a bunch of savages anyway.
Could that be those black Republicans that go to the White House and drink the coffee?
Yes,
and all that?
Right. Drink the coffee, sip the wine and whatnot. Say all the rest of them black people out there, it ain't nothing to them. But I'm the only one, master, that amounts to anything.
Mm.
And so I'm glad you have rewarded me. And I want to and go to the White House, stand on the White House roof, and shout to the other black people. Y'all ain't nothing but what they call y'all, a bunch of ends. And I'm the one that ain't. And that's why I am where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope all of y'all that look just like me go somewhere and die because it ain't nothing to you.
Wow.
Now, if any black person did that and you asked me what to say about it, I would say what the code requires me to say.
Gotcha. We heard
well,
that.
Well, and you know what the code requires me to say?
Mm-hmm.
He said what he said.
All right.
He's a fellow prisoner of war. He can say anything he wants to because he ain't in charge of nothing. No way.
No way. Let me get this last call in. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Fuller, I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about how the system of white supremacy puts value on things, and I was thinking about a diamond ring. In reality, Dr. Fuller, a diamond ring is not worth a nickel. You can't eat it. You can't get no nutrition from it. But the white supremacists have found a way to put value. He puts value on whatever he wants to put value on. So I'll let you get your response to that.
Don't buy them. Don't buy them. Don't buy no diamond rings. It's a whole bunch of black people who are dying right now as we speak.
Yeah.
On account of them so-called diamonds.
Yeah.
They call them blood diamonds.
Yeah, they do.
In a place called the Congo. As we speak right now. I mean, horrendous mistreatment. Getting those things out of the ground. Don't buy them.
Hello?
Period. Hello?
Yeah, you're on. We can hear you.
Okay, well, I want to make, I'm going out to the whole world.
I like that.
Just don't buy them. Well, buy me a diamond ring because we're going to get married. No, yeah, we'll get married or try to, you know, making that arrangement, whatnot, according to the code.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we don't need no blood diamonds going around your finger in order for you to be grinning in front of a preacher. But people are dying because of it.
Woo.
No.
That was a powerful statement right there. Mm, okay.
I mean, put a ring around the bathtub or whatnot.
Hey, I think if you wash enough, there will be a ring. Yeah. Wow. Well, guess what? Well, I guess we got the end on that. We have come to the close of the show. Outstanding questions in the second hour. We thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fuller, for addressing the suggestions and addressing the questions and so forth. We appreciate that. Remember, no show next. We're going to be on tape that we have. But thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you, listeners, for the pleasure of your time. Talktainment Radio. Radio the way it should be heard.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalktainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard. Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalktainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard. Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why one should always ask.